1049. And this is in the Gospel of Luke. Luke was writing about the Lord Jesus, and in this particular section, he's describing how how Jesus had met with some people who were considered the baddies, if you like, of the place, and the people that you wouldn't want to be associated with. And the religious people were really offended by this and complained, why is Jesus spending this time with them? And Jesus tells them three stories. One of them is about a shepherd who lost a sheep, and he went looking for that sheep until he found it. And the second story is about a woman who lost one of her 10 coins. And again, she went looking until she found it. And then we're going to pick up in verse 11. So it's the section that begins the parable of the lost son. And we'll read the third story that Jesus tells. So Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Now, one or two things just for you to be aware of.
Good morning. It is lovely to see you all. Can I say a special welcome to you? This is your first time at Grace Church. It's lovely to have you. And we hope you feel welcome. My name's Luke. I'm one of the leaders at Grace Church, and I'm going to be leading us through the next bit of our service together. As Michael said, usually at Grace Church, we read a section of the Bible, and then someone will stand at the front and teach us about what we've just read. So that's what we're going to do now for the next 20 minutes. We're going to look closely at this story that Jesus told. We always make sure that we have these blue Bibles available so that while I'm talking at the front, you can follow along if you want to and see where I'm getting it from. So you're very welcome to do that. again, as Michael said, kids, it's wonderful having you with us in the service. Thanks for coming. If any of the older kids would like to, we've got colouring on that table there if you want to do some colouring. And if you have babies or toddlers with you and they're getting a little bit noisy or a little bit uncomfortable, please don't worry or be embarrassed. We love having kids with us in the service. But if you would feel more comfortable, you're welcome to take them through those double doors at the back of the room. One of the most significant and powerful phrases in the English language, I think, has only two words. And here it is. Welcome home. Welcome home. When someone hears the words welcome home, it's just two words, but they're being told a lot, aren't they? When a parent at the airport throws their arms around their child and tears are coming down their cheeks and says, welcome home, what do they mean? I'm so happy that you're here. You belong here. This is where you should be. You are safe and secure here. You are wanted. We missed you. We're going to look after you. We love you. Welcome home. Aren't they wonderful words? They're wonderful words, aren't they? And really powerful words. I wonder, when was the last time someone said to you those wonderful words, welcome home? Well, this morning, we're going to hear a bit more about a man who probably never ever expected to hear those words, welcome home. If you want to, look down at the Bible again. Look down at verse 11. We'll read from the little number 11 again. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now, can you imagine if I gave my dad a call this afternoon? Imagine I said to him, hey, Dad, listen, I assume you're going to leave me some money when you die. Are you? How much? Cool. I want it now. Give me my share now. Give me the money now, Dad. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what the son in this story is saying to his father. Wow, that is cold, isn't it? Can I ask you, at this point in the story, maybe you've never read this story before, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of the son? Do you like this guy? Is he a pleasant man? How would you describe him? Ungrateful? Unworthy? Well, it's about to get even worse. Amazingly, the father agrees to his son's demands. He gives him the money, and the son packs his bags and leaves without looking back. He travels far away. And it says, squanders his wealth in wild living, verse 13 says. What could that mean? Well, imagine every day he's spending money on drink, spending money on banquets and feasts, spending money on drugs, spending money on sex, spending money on pleasure. He's living wildly, recklessly, lavishly, spending. Now, there's an English word that we don't use very often. This guy is prodigal. He is prodigal with all he has until all the money is gone. He loses everything in no time at all. All his father's money, all that his father, we assume, worked so hard for, it's gone. And I ask you again, what do you think of this man? Do you like this guy? How would you describe him? Foolish? Wasteful? Well, it's about to get worse. He doesn't even have money left to buy food, so he ends up feeding animals. Did you notice that? And he's so desperate and he's so hungry. Did you see in verse 16? He wants to eat the pig food. Just imagine, how hungry would you have to be to kneel down in your kitchen and eat the cat food? How thirsty would you have to be to kneel down in your kitchen and drink from the dog's bowl? How would you describe this man now? Desperate. Humbled. Empty. But wait, he thinks. My father has food. He suddenly has a brainwave. He thinks, my father has food. My servants have food. His servants have food. He comes to his senses. Look at verse 18. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Who does he think he is? After everything that he said to his father, after everything that he did, everything that he's done to his father, he has the nerve to go back to his dad and say, sorry about before. Can I have a job, please? Can I ask you, what do you think of the son right now? The stage is set. We're all ready, aren't we, for him to go back to his father and for his father to slam the door in his face. That would be fair, wouldn't it? Well, what follows is the most incredible twist, the most incredible surprise of all Jesus' stories. Look at verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I'm speechless, aren't you? I mean, can I ask you, what do you think of the father right now? In that story, how would you describe him? Loving, tender, forgiving, compassionate, unbelievably kind. I wasn't expecting that, were you? The son says to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But he doesn't even get to finish his speech. Look, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The father was waiting for his son to return, and when he sees him, he runs to him. The father loves the son, and he pours it all out, all his love. He just pours it out on his son. The best clothes, the ring, the sandals, the feast. The father is loving. The father is happy. The father is lavish. The father is prodigal. Isn't he? With his love, pouring it out. And he opens his arms wide for his son and says, "Welcome home. I love you. You belong here. You're safe now. Welcome home." Now, why is Jesus telling this story? What's it here for? What's the point? Well, the point is this, and I think it might surprise you. Here it is. This is exactly what God is like. This is exactly what God is like. Now, when I use the word God, I'm talking about what the Bible means when it says God. So God is the person, the very real person who made our world. Everything that we can see, everything that we can't see, he is the person in charge. He's the person that this world belongs to, if that were possible. And it is. He's the person who created you and me. And Jesus is saying here that God is like the father in the story who sees us from far away, and it's like he runs towards us. It's like he opens his arms wide and throws them around us. It's like God says, "Welcome home. I love you. You belong here with me." Now, if there was a God, I don't know whether you believe there's a God or not this morning, but if there was a God, wouldn't it be wonderful if he was like this? Well, Jesus says that he is like this. This is what God is like. Whenever I read about the son in the story, I don't know whether you're like me. When I read about the son, at first I get a bit annoyed. Because, I mean, think of the story. Think of the horrible way that he treated his father. He doesn't deserve to be welcomed back. He treated his father so terribly, didn't he? But then I remember that the son in the story is me. I am the ungrateful son who rejected the father. Rejected God. Imagine that. I am the one who rejected him and said, "Look, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. Leave me alone." I am the unworthy son who then came crawling back to him. Actually, that's what the Bible says that all of us are like. That's what we've all done. Now, you might be thinking, okay, if that's true, how do I know that God is waiting for me to come back to him? How do I know that God is running towards me with his arms open wide, ready to say, "Welcome home"? How do we know that? Well, this person, this God we're talking about, is the same person whose arms were open wide and his arms were stretched out and he was nailed to a wooden cross 2,000 years ago. And the Bible explains that event, Jesus' crucifixion, by saying God shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though we had rejected our Father, like the son in the story, Jesus sacrificed his own life for us. Really, we deserve to die. We deserve to be crucified. But because he loves us, Jesus swapped places with us. And he was crucified instead. And what's more, Jesus proved that he really is God by coming back to life again. He didn't stay dead. And the Bible says that Jesus is even alive now, and he will never die again. Now, if we go back to him, like the unworthy son in the story, if we ask his forgiveness, like the unworthy son in the story, he will welcome us back. He'll say, "Welcome home." Now, here at Grace Church, this is what we're all about. This is absolutely what we're all about. We want everyone to hear this wonderful news. Now, if this is all new to you, maybe you're not quite sure what to believe about who Jesus is. I would love to talk to you about Jesus. Or maybe you could speak to the person who invited you here today. At Grace Church, we love Jesus, and he has absolutely changed our lives. We would love to share him with you. Lastly, as Michael said, all those books, all those flyers on that table there, they are for you. They're for you, and they are completely free. So please do, after the service, help yourself to some fantastic books and some fantastic flyers that will tell you more about God, this person who loves us, the person who runs to us, the person who says, "Welcome home." Now we're going to sing our final song together. And as we sing, we can imagine Jesus. We can imagine him all those years ago giving up his life on the cross to save us. And we can imagine him sitting as he is right now on the throne right now. So if you're able to, why don't we stand and